Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Now to Egypt. Over the weekend, Egyptian authorities opened fire on Muslim Brotherhood protesters in Cairo, leaving more than 70 dead. The Brotherhood's political future in doubt. The overall intentions of the interim government a real mystery now. Joining us is Samer Shahada, Associate Professor of Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Let me just say that based on the events of the last few days, and particularly over the weekend, it appears that the Egyptian public, broadly speaking, is willing to tolerate an all-out offensive against the Muslim Brothers. Is that your read?
Yes, I think that is correct, with the caveat that some percentage of the Egyptian public has accepted a narrative that the Brotherhood is engaged in terrorism and violence and is willing to tolerate the regime's use of force, excessive use of force, in the opinion of many, against the organization and its supporters, even if they are protesting peacefully. Now, what needs to be said is, of course, there has been a media and a psychological war really taking place over the last month or so against the movement that has largely been consumed by much of the public in this highly polarized setting.
The thing that puzzles me, though, is that they did win an election, but their record of governing was dreadful. And it seems to me that record discredits them enough. What do you make of the terrorism charges? Are they believable, or does the interim government need this to really go after the brothers?
Well, I think that if you ask any serious student of the Muslim Brotherhood, the terrorism charges are not believable. The Brotherhood renounced violence in the 1960s and hasn't been engaged in violence as an organization since then. Now, it needs to be said, however, that there are fringe movements, there are other Islamist groups not affiliated with the Brotherhood in the Sinai and elsewhere who are engaging in violence against the security forces, against the police, in some cases against minorities and so on. And in that context, and again, in the highly polarized, highly charged world of Egyptian politics over the last months, with the psychological warfare that many of the media privately owned stations and now the government stations have been engaged in against the Muslim Brotherhood, yes, there are those who are consuming and believing this kind of hysteria, in fact.
So I guess what concerns me now is that it appears that very, very broadly, the people of Egypt believe that the only way the economy is going to turn around, the only way tourists come back, the only way trade in the Suez Canal restarts and the revenues begin flowing, short of, you know, Saudi bailouts and American bailouts for that matter, is a return to a kind of martial law, albeit with some sort of democratic process going forward. But is it a kind of nostalgia that's going on in addition to an attempt to crack down on the streets?
No, there's not a nostalgia. And I think it needs to be stated that there are some, we don't know how many, but some of those who supported the June 30th protests and the July 3rd coup or coup by popular demand and so on, who have no interest in going back to the Mubarak days of an authoritarian state with heavy state security presence and regular violation of human rights. And we're going to see what transpires in the future. It certainly is the case that there are elements of the old Mubarak regime in the security forces, in the interior ministry, in the police and so on, who have reemerged, as well as some political players, who want to set the clock back to before Mr. Mubarak was ousted and have a police force interact with the public in that manner with no accountability and total impunity. Now, I think what we're going to likely see in the coming period is a struggle between, you know, revolutionary forces who want a new Egypt based on human rights and political freedoms and so on, and parts of the state and the security forces who have a completely different vision, as you intimated, one of martial law and complete free hand to deal with protesters and political dissidents.
You're describing a kind of super nostalgia for Gamal Abdel Nasser, which would go back to the 1950s. More than 70 dead in the protests over the weekend. Are people in Egypt just basically numbed to the bloodshed? I mean, there were hundreds killed during the ouster of Hosni Mubarak. I'm surprised that this carnage hasn't produced the same kind of backlash.
Well, I think it needs to be understood that, and this is quite terrifying, that there has been a process of kind of othering that has been going on. In other words, the society is so polarized, one can think of it as almost two Egypts. I mean, you're either in the Egypt that believes the narrative of the military officers and so on, and others, that this group is a terrorist organization and that they need to be eradicated. And therefore, the violence becomes acceptable. And the violence then is blamed on them for provocations and so on. Or you're in the other Egypt, much smaller Egypt, in which this is a coup, the violence is excessive, this is a counter-revolution, and Morsi should be the president still, and so on. So that type of othering really makes the violence acceptable in the view of some, unfortunately.
Samer Shahada is Associate Professor of Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.